Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Claire Fallon.
And I'm Emma Gray.
We are friends and reality dating show fans, and the only thing we love as much as love stories is lovingly snarking on them.
Whether you love love or love to hate it, listen to Love to See It, our podcast dissecting all the romance we see on screen.
From reality dating shows like The Bachelor and Love is Blind to classic rom-coms like You've Got Mail, we recap in obsessive detail and unpack all the weird messages they send us about love, sex, and dating.
Listen to Love to See It on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
James Franklin was asking, if you have plans this weekend, he's like, I'm free.
My feed online has been just inundated from all the speculation. I love it. And it's funny because about who's going to be the next coach. Yeah. And then you get these other teams and they're like, he's not going there. That's not a real program. And they're all fighting. And it's like, this is what's going to happen. There are going to be a bunch of coaches that are going to make a lot more money because of this vacancy. Because they'll be open to talking. And then, you know what? It makes them more valuable back where they are, too.
There's a little game you play. I've never admitted this part of the story, but my contract had lapsed at a different place. And someone found out and they reached out and the competition wanted to hire me. And anyway, I remember having this private conversation. I don't think I want to go there.
Right.
But why don't we try to see if we can get an offer? And we got an offer. And then, boom, guess what? When they think you're leaving.
Yeah. Then all of a sudden, things get more interesting. Did you see the story, though, yesterday?
Yes! No, I don't know which one you're talking about. I don't know.
EJ just whipped his head around like, what the hell just happened?
I have no idea what story you're talking about, but oh my God, it was shocking.
It was about James Franklin.
Oh, I haven't seen anything about him. Was it really about him?
Okay, there was a story and a report out that over the summer, James Franklin wanted to get a contract extension. You didn't hear this story?
No, I have not been paying. I haven't seen anything about him. I thought, oh, he's just off counting money. That's what I figured he was doing.
No.
So he's trying to get an extension. That's interesting.
Yes.
That's a little greedy when you already had like, 6 years left?
It's, five years? At first I was like, really, truly? Nittany Sports Now, it's an online publication, can confirm that James Franklin asked Penn State for a contract extension this past summer. First reported by Nate Bauer of Blue White Illustrated, Franklin felt he was not owed but worthy of a contract extension and renegotiation over the summer. Now, remember, he's got a contract through 2031. So there were multiple years left, folks. That was a thing that Penn State had to deal with, Bauer said. Hmm. Understanding that there were multiple years left, obviously 6 years left on that extension from 2022. Now, you know, obviously last season he came within a drive of making it to the national championship game. He was able to bring back most of the key players from the team. Number two preseason ranking, right? But, you know, the season kind of went to hell. But anyway, here's the thing. There are also rumblings that not only did he want the extension, but that he didn't end around the athletic director and that he possibly went to,
like, he went over someone's head,
like to the board or somebody on the board. Mm. And so, again, not to say that they had any bad feelings about anything, but people were saying, like, was that a bit too much to be asking for an extension when you still have 6 years on a 10-year contract and you're not going to go through the regular channels? And so some people who have accused him of being arrogant, how dare he, right?
Right.
I mean, So it didn't go on. Obviously, there was no discussion. And can you imagine if there was an extension was given and then this whole season went to hell?
Well, they didn't do it, so it looks good for them. I wonder if he did. He wanted more years, because I know sometimes people will go, I think I'm worth more, because I was looking at the pay. He was, believe it or not, at one point I thought he was the number one highest paying coach. $8.5 million he was making.
I don't think he was. Is he?
No, he's 16th now. Deion Sanders makes more than him, or made more than him.
But are they? Do they have a guaranteed how many year multi-year?
I think most of these, as we've seen, you know, these colleges, they don't care about the payouts. Maybe he just wanted to be put on the upper level. Ryan Day from Ohio State making $12.5 million. So maybe, because sometimes they'll just be like, well, you know, let's renegotiate so I can make more. Add a few years, blah blah blah. I'll commit to you. Didn't work out for him, though, huh?
Yeah. No. So
how is he going to pay his bills?
As much as many people were saying, oh, my gosh, why'd they sign this contract? 10 years, blah, 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 blah. He wanted to get more. And I don't think there's anything wrong with people wanting to get more. But when you still have 6 years left, obviously things changed, you know, the whole NIL thing. So on the one hand, when he made that deal, you know, it looked like a pretty sweet deal. But with, like you said, all these other coaches now making a lot of money, maybe he just felt, I need more. Well, the season went to hell.
Well, I mean, let's be honest. Let's compare apples to apples. I don't mean that. You'll see in a second why. Ryan Day, $12.5 million. James Franklin was making $8.5 million. Both won national champ. No, okay, only one of them did.
Yeah.
Maybe, I think there could have been an increase, maybe for Ryan Day. Just saying, it seems.
Anyway, that's the story I was talking about, which, you know, there were people who were, one, like, that's weird. I guess it's not, if he came out of this season with a championship, then I think he would have had, obviously, more of a leg to stand on. But the fact is, and as we all know, there has been a lot of criticism of not being able to perform in the big games. And the fact that he has this long-term contract.
Yeah.
And before we even got to playing was like, I want more.
I don't know why when they do negotiations, even like, you know, any kind of contract negotiation, usually it's like, in this situation, it would be nice if they were like, look, OK, we'll give you more. But here's the deal. We'll treat it as a bonus. If you beat a top five team, you get $3 million.
Right.
So he has to work towards something. Right. And then he can, you know, and then people are like, well, if money motivates him, maybe that's what it would take, because he wasn't winning. Mm-hmm. And if he doesn't, then he's not worth the money anyway.
Right.
I think if he won a national championship last year, by the way, he probably would still have a job right now.
Oh, sure.
But they would have fired a couple assistants. Mm-hmm. That's all, I think. But yeah,
I thought that was an interesting little wrinkle, because we were all talking about feeling bogged down by this long term thing with the frustrations over not being able to get over that hurdle, and to think, you know, he was, you know, and maybe it was a push from his agent, you know. See what you can get. Other ones are getting X amount of dollars.
The agent would have done it if he, I don't know. I don't blame him for doing that.
I think at some point you have to broach it yourself. But yeah, the story that I saw was that he kind of did an end around from the athletic director.
I have learned going around your direct superior is always well received.
It's pretty sucky. It is pretty sucky.
So you could have asked me.
Right. So it's just been rife with lots of reports. And look, I think a lot of these other coaches are going to be a bit coy when they're asked about it, because, again, they may have absolutely no desire to come here, but they want the people, you know, doing their contracts to think maybe they will. Because then they get some more money out of it. Is it important that it be a Pennsylvania native? I have seen so many comments, and you know the connect. And there's a few of them with connections to the area. The Sig Cignetti, I think he's from Western Pennsylvania, right?
I haven't read his book yet.
Yes. EJ is saying so.
Okay.
And then there's others. Now I'm hearing the name that's coming up a lot more is the coach that has Bo Pribula, Missouri. Drinkowitz? Is that how you say it? I don't even know his name. Every day, there's like another one that is mentioned.
Got to be honest. I said this to you yesterday. Again, as a Browns fan, where there's constant turnover and change and speculation and what's going to happen next, this is so... as stressful and sucky as it is that they lost those three games in a row, especially the last two, it's fun when a change happens because there's so much speculation. Yes. So much, you know, anything is possible now.
Yeah.
It's a His world of possibility.
His name is Eli Drinkwitz. And there are a lot of stories. They're talking about, oh, if he comes here, he could bring Bo Pribula back. How about that?
What year is Bo Pribula? Is it Pribula?
Whatever you want to call it. Look, I just see it on the paper. You tell me.
I don't know.
God, you're so cranky. Pribula.
I have a reason to be cranky.
Pribula?
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 That's okay. I was calling him Ethan Grunkelmeyer the other day.
Let's get grunked, everybody.
Does this guy think he's perfect? Nope.
Some Penn State football fans are high on Eli Drinkwitz, Missouri head coach. And he's had success with what they call a typically average SEC team over his six seasons with the Tigers. Now, of course, he was able to bring Bo Pribula to Missouri. But I've also heard he's recruited quite a few from Pennsylvania over the years.
Your original question, though, is like, do they have to be from Pennsylvania? He's not. So can you imagine? It's like, this guy has everything we need, everything we want. He speaks the truth. He's a great coach. He gets results. He's our guy. And someone goes, hold up, he's from Arkansas.
But no, they do say
Arizona.
He has shown an ability to recruit the Pennsylvania area. He landed the number two player in the state, Matt Zollers. He also has three players committed from Ohio, a state the Nittany Lions rely on for talent. Grunkmeyer, by the way, from Ohio. I don't know if you knew that or not. So,
yeah, if you ask my kids, that makes them stupid because that's like some meme that Ohio's stupid, but whatever.
What's really funny is the ones who now, when someone puts a picture up, I've seen a few who go, I don't think we need a visor coach. They don't want a coach who wears a visor. No visors at Penn State.
If I can add, I would say we also don't need one of those guys who has a laminated sheet on their face at all times. Those coaches that hold it up so we can't see what they're saying.
Well, they're smart.
I understand they're smart-ish, but...
Right. So brace yourself for upcoming health insurance costs. Whether or not you get them on the exchange, I will just say that we've got a preliminary notice just for ourselves here at our own company. So this is not even us buying it on the marketplace.
This is like a benefit.
We don't know yet exactly how much, but it will be going up quite a bit more than normal. We don't know exactly the numbers yet, but this is what we have heard, which is as those subsidies expire, that's going to make less people buying the insurance, and that's going to mean everybody is going to be paying more. But let's just talk about Penny, the marketplace here in Pennsylvania. Every state has their own. And I'm looking at a story at PennLive.com. And they talk about Julia Tilly and her husband, finally last year, able to purchase their health insurance on the marketplace. And they are one of more than 20 million Americans who are able to afford it because of the pandemic era tax credit subsidies, making it more affordable. They say that the state's Affordable Care Act insurance marketplace will see health care premiums for Penny here in Pennsylvania soar by an average of 102%. Now, the state insurance department, and it depends upon your situation as well, they have a scenario here for Penny. A 60-year-old couple in York County who now pays $7,000 for a year of health insurance will see that cost go up to $35,000. How is that even sustainable? It's not.
It's definitely not.
No. So, they said there's really no way to prepare for it. So people are waiting to be able to go on the open marketplace, which will be November the 1st. You might have gotten a letter already saying be prepared, right? And some people did. Someone in my family got their letter. It said at least 80 some percent of an increase. And that's just an average. So they talked about another scenario where someone, one couple told her their payments will balloon from $100 to $1,800 a month.
What was the first number again?
100. And okay. Again, it all depends on income and everything else. Okay.
Just trying to compare because that's a shocking difference.
Which 100 to, well, I mean, 7,000 to 35,000 was like.
They're both, but yeah. It's
that's just a killer. That's a killer there. It could be 1,200 a month for that person who says that would be far beyond anything we would be able to pay.
If you're only used to paying 100 and they're like, oh, it's 1800 right. Even 1500.
Well, that's anything. Anything that you're told is going to go up any more than, like, we're not even talking double. In that case, it's going up 18 times. That's insane. That is not sustainable. So we've got a government shutdown. And look, Obamacare has been in place now 15 years. I think it's like 15 plus years.
Something like that, yeah.
We have had no counter proposal or anything from Republicans. And in this case, because they wouldn't just get rid of it, what they do is starve the beast, right? Just make it so that nobody can use it. And so this government shutdown's not ending anytime soon. Don't fool yourself. It's not. And when November 1st comes, which is just a few weeks away, and people start to go on that marketplace or talk to their employer and find out how much more they're going to have to pay for health care, you know what's going to hit the fan, because it's no longer an abstract. It'll be a reality. And they have literally done zero to address this problem. People will need to get four jobs to pay for their benefits. We used to joke when we started having co-pays at work.
Yeah.
Back in the, I mean, I've been here since 1989. Bud Brown, when he was here, news guy, great guy. He used to say to me, if this keeps up, I'm going to need a part-time job to pay for my benefits. That was when, you know, oh, a $10 copay here and there. Now you're talking, you know, get an MRI. Oh, that costs you $800 with insurance.
And now the joke, let me update the joke. I'm going to need another full-time job
to pay for my health care. God,
I'm trying to keep it light, but it's terrifying because if, you know, as you get older, I've noticed this, you start to have like reoccurring costs that, you know, are going to be there year after year, mm-hmm. like maintenance on a car.
Yeah.
And that's very expensive already.
Yeah. Well, it's terrifying for me because I have a BRCA gene, which makes me susceptible to a whole lot of hell. And I've got to do a bunch of tests, as do people now in my family, because that does pass on. So the thought of not having health insurance could literally be a difference. And for most people, it can be a difference of life or death. But I'm the example of why they had Obamacare in the first place. And that was, they used to be able to deny you. Oh, you have BRCA gene? We're not going to cover you. Or we're going to make it so expensive that you can't afford it.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Claire Fallon.
And I'm Emma Gray.
We are friends and reality dating show fans, and the only thing we love as much as love stories is lovingly snarking on them.
Whether you love love or love to hate it, listen to Love to See It, our podcast dissecting all the romance we see on screen.
From reality dating shows like The Bachelor and Love is Blind to classic rom-coms like You've Got Mail, we recap in obsessive detail and unpack all the weird messages they send us about love, sex, and dating.
Listen to Love to See It on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
So we had yesterday and talked about the breaking news, the racist and offensive young Republican group chat, the public release of what was said in there. Racist language, jokes about rape, flippant commentary on gas chambers, the Young Republican National Federation. I want to emphasize something here. It is the GOP's political organization for Republicans between the ages of 18 and 40. Now,
I don't think they know the word young, but that's okay.
A number of these people go on to, you know, either be on committees or end up working with some members, whether it's state or on a, you know, larger level. But really ugly, ugly stuff. However, the Republican Vice President J.D. Vance, always one to downplay the seriousness of a real problem that they have in the party. What is
By focusing on what kids are saying in a group chat, grow up. I'm sorry. Focus on the real issues. Don't focus on what kids say in group chats. But there's another angle to this that I just have to be honest about. I mean, I'm like an old guy at this point. I'm 41 years old. I have three kids.
I'm sorry. Everything about, I think there are times when he's a super likable guy. This is so obnoxious.
I know. They're really hard. I said sometimes.
This is obnoxious when someone goes, I'm an old person now.
Okay, yeah. Like something.
I know you're having a struggle. What I do with my puppies, it's like having kids. It's not the same thing.
Okay, so he's 41, considers himself old. The Young Republican National Federation is for Republicans aged 18 to 40. So they're not kids. That is the most idiotic thing I had ever heard. To just say, these are kids in a group chat. Folks, take a look at these people. They are not kids. You'll see them. They are not kids. That is a ridiculous statement. And see, while others have done the responsible thing, including Republicans, you know, have done the responsible thing and said, you need to be removed or you need to resign from your position. So, you know, others have said, we don't want this in our party. But J.D. Vance wants you to not pay attention to what the kids are saying.
We don't have time to play the rest of the statement because we have to get to traffic. But I will say this. Yesterday, I thought you had a very reasonable take on it. It made sense. I had a different take, which was like, I mean, let's not crush these people, because I was like, hey, they have freedom to say this stuff. There's consequences, though. They should know better. His approach of saying get over it to everyone else, like, no, you're the problem for bringing it up, is so wildly wrong. No one in government should ever be like, get over it. No one.
He's basically just saying they're kids and they're not kids. It is a lie. Again, another lie. This is a group from the ages of 18 to 40. And he considers himself old at 41.
His take is so
idiot.
It's wrong. He could have said, I wish you let them live. Let's not ruin their lives, guys.
Why do you always think about what they should have said?
Because that's part of the analysis.
Focus on what they did say.
Because I don't even know what he was trying to say, to be honest with you. But I say this because I think it's part of the analysis part of it.
Like every other responsible person said, get out. Get out, resign or be bounced. There's really like nothing in between when people are saying, I love Hitler, can't wait to burn people. I mean, we're not talking a comedian on a stage. We're talking people who want to actually be overseeing policy that directly affects Americans. There's like no way around it. And for him to take what grown adults have said and try to say that they're kids in a group chat, like they're your junior high kids making stupid comments, you know, in their bedrooms at night, is just insanity.
It's insanity.
It's more nonsense from people who just can't deal with reality.
At 51, maybe we should be easy on him. He's a kid. You know, I'm an older, experienced guy with children. You know, he's a child.
I am ancient, I guess. Folks, I'm not going to get into every single one of them, but if you're paying attention to what's going on in these cities where we see, whether it's ICE or, you know, other Department of Homeland Security folks with their faces covered, not even telling people, you know, what the warrant is, why they're there, just grabbing people and taking them. There's an image, I believe it's from Chicago, where they have a gun on what looks like a young man. And it is an extremely disturbing picture of this country right now. I'm very concerned for what we are looking at in the future. There are hundreds of No Kings protests going on this Saturday. And if you, like me, are disturbed by what is going on, you need to get out and let people know. This is peaceful. And I've been to these before. They are peaceful protests. They are patriotic. There are many handing out flags. There are people who are happy warriors. When I say happy warriors, we mean using our voices against what is happening in this country. And so this Saturday are the No Kings protests all across this country. In Scranton, there is one this Saturday from 2 until 5 p.m. at Courthouse Square. I'm going to be at that one. There's also a No Kings protest in Tunkhannock, again, Saturday. This one from 3 to 4:30 p.m. at Feed Mill Park. Again, that's in Tunkhannock. If you're further north, there's one in Susquehanna County this Saturday, 1 to 3 p.m. on the green in Montrose. For those of you in Wilkes-Barre, Public Square, Saturday, 11 a.m. until 1 p.m. And also there is one in Bloomsburg, 2 o'clock to 3:30 at the Columbia County Courthouse. That's what this is about. And again, it's a peaceful organization of people who are going to show in numbers that, you know, this is a situation where we have seen an entire party capitulate to a man who honestly thinks that he's a king. I want to know why nothing is being done for U.S. citizens who are being taken into custody and held for hours and let go later with no charges at all. How is that even allowed in this country? That is absolutely horrific. There was a woman playing the clarinet at a protest, and she was taken into custody. Her family had no clue where she was for hours. U.S. citizen, not doing anything. How about, did you see this comedian, Robbie Road Steamer? Now, he's an odd duck, but he goes to these protests. He's a comedian. He sings songs. He looks ridiculous, but it's funny.
He's got a lovely voice.
He is not violent in any way, using humor. And he says he was detained by ICE. There is video where he is taken, and literally all he was doing was singing a song.
He got detained, huh?
Yeah. So in the midst of telling them to come on out with their super soakers, not ready for primetime players, they took him into custody.
Yeah, that shouldn't happen.
U.S. citizen. Yeah. Now, just simply speaking is enough to get you taken into custody. Congratulations, those of you who support this behavior. We look like Russia. Next thing you know, people will start falling out of windows.
That's what I was going to say. You know, this shouldn't happen. This isn't an oops, we messed up. This is a they're taking them into custody because they're doing something they don't like. It seems very clear.
It is the
nothing illegal.
It is in the fascist playbook, folks. This is where we're going. This is why there's a No Kings protest going on near you and all across this country on Saturday because of this. And look, you might think it's okay. I don't like them. They don't say what I say. History tells us eventually they'll come for you. So if you're okay with that, cheer it on. My great uncles who fought for this country in World War II would be rolling over in their graves watching this. And all I have to say is to every one of the people doing the bidding and doing illegal orders, remember, that won't protect you. I was just following orders. Will not protect you down the line. Just remember that. Yesterday on Fox News, who was there with Martha McCallum? Did you watch?
All the time. No.
You have the clip right here.
I do?
Yes, you do. Zoran Memdani.
Well, that was a Fox clip. Good for him for going on.
So
that's where
and this is what you have to do. You've got to speak
good
to everyone. So on Fox News, Zoran Memdani, who is running and looks to be ahead in the polls right now, there for mayor of New York City, wanted to speak directly to President Donald Trump when he was talking with Martha McCallum.
I want to take this moment because you spoke about President Trump, and he may be watching right now. And I just want to speak directly to the president, which is that I will not be a mayor like Mayor Adams, who will call you to figure out how to stay out of jail. I won't be a disgraced governor like Andrew Cuomo, who will call you to ask how to win this election. I can do those things on my own. I will, however, be a mayor who is ready to speak at any time to lower the cost of living. That's the way that I am going to lead this city. That's the partnership I want to build, not only with Washington, D.C., but anyone across this country. I think it's important because too often the focus on the needs of working class Americans, working class New Yorkers are put to the side as we talk more and more about the very kinds of corrupt politicians like Andrew Cuomo that delivered us into this kind of crisis.
So there you go.
Is she going to say this is so radical?
No. She also talked a lot about, you know, the Palestine-Gaza situation and, you know, Israel. And, you know, he gave some thoughts on that. But he's like, I want to focus on New York. I mean, he's running for mayor of New York City. So, you know, you talk to him about all those other issues. But he did publicly apologize for language he used in the past to criticize the New York Police Department. On the show, he said he is looking to work with these officers if he is elected. So he was there on Fox News yesterday, if you got a chance to see it. And there's video out there. But he did say he told McCallum he apologized privately to a group of officers for the language that I used. She asked if he'd like to apologize publicly. He said, absolutely. I'll apologize to police officers right here because this is the apology I've been sharing with many rank and file officers. And I apologize because of the fact that I'm looking to work with these officers. And I know that these officers, men and women who serve in the NYPD, they put their lives on the line every single day. So, yes. And look, Pete Buttigieg has been great and
he's
very
been
open
great
to
stuff,
being on there. You need to get to everybody when you're running. So I think that, you know, that's it's going to take courage and authenticity and stand, you know, for what you stand for. And I think he's very clear at keeping the focus on the economy. People are struggling. It's really tough. And meanwhile, and we'll get into this at some point, too, this morning. The fact that the president has now doubled the money he wants to give to Argentina, $40 billion. Just to put this in perspective, $40 billion would extend the Affordable Care Act subsidies for two more years. So when he says America first, he's not saying Americans first. He literally will allow you to go bankrupt trying to get health care to help Argentina. And that's insane.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Claire Fallon.
And I'm Emma Gray.
We are friends and reality dating show fans, and the only thing we love as much as love stories is lovingly snarking on them.
Whether you love love or love to hate it, listen to Love to See It, our podcast dissecting all the romance we see on screen.
From reality dating shows like The Bachelor and Love is Blind to classic rom-coms like You've Got Mail, we recap in obsessive detail and unpack all the weird messages they send us about love, sex, and dating.
Listen to Love to See It on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.